bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and autopay offer. 5/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track. But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
I used to be like you, stressing about auto repairs and not knowing what was really needed. Now I go to Madison Automotive. Instead of what's best for their pocket, they do what's best for you. Madison Automotive asks about your car goals, so you get the right repairs for your situation. Locally owned and operated, nationwide warranty. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com for specials and to book an appointment. Oh, ask about their million-mile warranty, too. Don't want to worry? Be like me. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com today.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. and right now.
All right, this hour's word is rank. Text the word rank, R-A-N-K. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 929 FM ESPN. Again, your word is rank, R-A-N-K. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 929 FM ESPN. I'll have another code word for you at 3 o'clock. One more time, this hour's word is rank, R-A-N-K. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Ladies and gentlemen, cool in the gang. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at jwright929ESPN. Joined by my partner in crime, he of course is the producer of the program, at cdunning929 on Twitter. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Definitely a good day to you.
Huge 24 hours here in the Memphis sports scene, whether it be Boogie Ellis's commitment to the University of Memphis, whether it be the athletic director resigning, or whether it be we finally will get the answer to just what the 2019 NBA draft holds for the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to get some resolution to all of these questions that we may have. We're going to discuss that momentarily. Let's tell everybody else what we got coming up on the program. Jonah Jordan, of course, does an outstanding job covering the University of Memphis athletic program for the Daily Memphian. He's going to join us here in about 25 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on the remaining prospects out there on the recruiting trail for the University of Memphis, including Precious Achiuwa, including Trenton Watford. We'll also get his thoughts on the press conference that he attended today over at the University of Memphis on the South Campus, in which David Rudd announced that Allie Prescott would become the interim athletic director, and he somewhat cautiously spoke about Tom Bowen's decision to resign. Of course, at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, Connor's going to give you another chance to win $1,000 when he'll give you another Unicorn Cash code, 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Unicorn Cash contest rolls on. John Martin will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the remaining aspects of the recruiting class. We'll get his thoughts on just where this class is shaping up. What other additions could we look for, as well as straight up, just what are the expectations now for the University of Memphis as they try to wrap up the late signing period. Then David Cobb will, of course, join us because another one of the key stories that we've been discussing is what will happen in tonight's NBA draft lottery. We'll discuss all the important details with David when he joins us at 3:25. We'll get into the Google Doc at the end of the program, and then we'll make way for the Gary Parrish Show and the Gary Parrish Experience. So let's get a quick recap of just what has happened here in about the last 18 hours here in the Memphis sports scene. Of course, yesterday, not really a surprise to many. Not quite the slam dunk, I think, that Lester Quiñones was, but indeed, the story was strong that when Boogie Ellis made the decision to decommit from Duke, he was doing so with the intention of becoming a Memphis Tiger. And yesterday confirmed that that is indeed his plan and that Boogie Ellis will now become a Memphis Tiger. And as we've mentioned, that gives the University of Memphis a bona fide point guard. It's not to say that Alex Lomax and Tyler Harris are incapable of playing the position, but the truth is they were the 132nd ranked player and the 159th ranked player, and each had his ups and downs this season, and Boogie Ellis is an electric talent. It's a top 40 basketball player. He plays the point guard position. He can shoot. He is a tremendous athlete, and it gives them more flexibility in terms of what they could have at the point guard position. It now means that at the bare minimum, even if you do not get Precious Achiuwa, your starting five will include Boogie Ellis, Lester Quiñones, DJ Jeffries, presumably at that point Lance Thomas, and then your five, of course, is James Wiseman. And that's, again, that's presuming that Precious Achiuwa does not even make the decision to become a Memphis Tiger, and that also leaves room for Rajon Tucker, because Rajon Tucker does have a decision to make. He is committed to the University of Memphis, but he still has the choice, and if he chooses to end his collegiate career, that's still what you're looking at. And every single one of those guys were four-star prospects that we just mentioned right there, and now you are starting to see a not only an NCAA tournament team, but perhaps the makings of a team that can make a run. And now, of course, if you add Rajon Tucker, and then if you add Precious Achiuwa, well, now you're starting to look at not only a Final Four team, but you are looking at a team that certainly has the talent to win a national title. And Penny Hardaway was not out of his mind when he was saying that, indeed, my plan is to win national titles here. That's all well and good. And we expect more recruiting news coming up later in the week, and the Tigers feel good about their chances with Precious Achiuwa. But we had some news that was unexpected. As we mentioned, Lester Quiñones expected. Boogie Ellis expected. That news didn't really catch my eye, if you will. I didn't say, holy cow, can you believe that happened?
Because it was more of a relief.
It was more, yes, exactly. You've reached that point now where when prospects commit, it's less the euphoria and it's more of the, okay, good, because that was the expectation. The news that I received around 11 p.m. last night, and since I'm not in the news-breaking business, I chose to honor just indeed that I'm not going to break that news because it's not my place. That's not what I am. I'm a commenter more than anything. But I received the news last night that the University of Memphis was expected to announce that Tom Bowen would indeed resign at 9 a.m. this morning. And that is just what happened. Tom Bowen, effective immediately, chose to resign. And anytime you have a situation like this, Connor, I like to get back to just the straight-up basics. Go back to basic journalism school and start with a story that way. First thing they always tell you, identify who, what, when, where, why. Okay, well, most of these are pretty easy.
Right.
Who? Tom Bowen. What? Resigns. When? Effective immediately. Where? Perhaps in the Delta Sky Club, according to Gary Parrish, at around 9:28 this morning. But indeed, the assumption is that he turned in his resignation here in Memphis before then leaving Memphis International Airport, headed who knows where. But the most important question is the one question that we do not have an answer to. And that question is indeed, why? Here is what David Rudd, the president of the University of Memphis, had to say today during his press conference. It was asked during the press conference in which Allie Prescott was introduced, Bowen did not attend. Prescott said that his hiring had been in something that was in the works for, quote, several weeks. So Allie Prescott, who is now the interim athletic director, said that indeed that it had been in the works for several weeks. And truth be told, I do not find that information surprising. And the reason why I don't find that information surprising is, despite David Rudd's public comments and despite Tom Bowen's public comments, sources close to them, read into that what you will, sources that work for them, let's be real, said that is definitely not the case.
Right.
That's not the case, and that's not how they operate. And that those two struggled very much to get along. So, it didn't come as a surprise that we saw the news that Tom Bowen resigns. What the surprise was the timing and the fact that it occurred very suddenly. So, based on Allie Prescott's comments that, hey, this had been in the works for several weeks, I don't know if you can necessarily draw the conclusion, well, this is a decision that had been made by Bowen. This was a decision that Rudd had made, and they just kept it quiet for several weeks. And now, because my general thought is, I think it seems more likely than not that Allie Prescott had an agreement with David Rudd that when the time approached, would you be willing to take the interim role as the athletic director? And you could convince me that that's been going on for several weeks. That doesn't necessarily mean that David Rudd said, well, hey, here's the deal. In about 3 weeks, on May the 14th, we're going to announce Tom Bowen's resignation. But what it could easily mean is that for some weeks, David Rudd said, hey, when time comes, we know that this is probably a relationship that's not destined to last.
Right.
So when the time comes, would you be willing to serve the university? And it seems all but likely that Allie Prescott said absolutely. And that's the case that we find ourselves in today. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that today was like the trigger day of what occurred. And so that now begs the further question, okay, is there anything more to this other than an AD resigns? I don't necessarily believe that is indeed the case. I will say, though, that I find it highly unusual that an athletic director resigns without another job in place.
Right.
So, for instance, when Joe Oliva actively decided to step away from LSU's athletic director's role, there was already a plan in place. It wasn't effective immediately, and they had a reassignment for him. So there was already another job waiting. With Tom Bowen, this is a resignation to, quote, pursue other opportunities. Doesn't mean he doesn't have other interviews lined up, but at this point, there are no reports out there that suggest he is even a leading candidate for at least another athletic director's job or another job in college athletics. Now, maybe he has something else completely lined up in another field of work, a field of work that is not reported upon, and that could be possible, but normally you would see some type of announcement made that would be included. Here's what I do find the most unusual about it is, during the press conference today, David Rudd was asked whether or not he asked Tom Bowen for his resignation. And here's what he had to say. Quote, I don't want to speak for Tom. The reason for his resignation is a question that he would need to answer. He submitted a resignation and I accepted it. And I accepted it. He was then asked for more clarification, and he essentially repeated the exact same sentence. And what's striking about the fact that he did it in that way is that suggests legal precautions and that he was advised by a legal team, this is what you say, and you can't be a loose cannon. So then we're no closer now to answering why. And I'm not necessarily sure why it matters. I think there is another question that matters, but I'm not necessarily sure it's why. Here's the only situation in which why would matter, Connor. And I'm, for those out there that are listening, I'm not even remotely suggesting this. But the only way in which why to me would matter is if there were some type of, for lack of a better word, scandal in which that caused Tom Bowen to resign. Whether or not he was at fault, whether or not he knew about something and he didn't want it to occur under his watch, or anything tied to that type of scandal, and therefore that was the reason why he chose to abruptly make this decision. For the record, I do not think that is likely.
No, I don't either. With all the history.
It's not even that. It's from information that I've gathered.
Right.
I really don't think it's likely. I think while it's involving some speculation, I think the most likely situation that occurred is you had a situation where Tom Bowen was unhappy in his job. And anyone that's ever been unhappy in their job knows what a miserable experience it is to wake up each and every single morning. And I think he saw an opportunity to cut ties and just say, at this point, you know what, I'm done with it. I've got a few other things in the works. I'm going to go pursue those. I'm done waking up every single morning and going to work in a bad environment. Seems highly reasonable. Now, the argument against that would be is that's not commonplace in college athletics. I just think we've reached a certain point where the relationship between Rudd and Bowen could go no more.
Absolutely.
And this was the conclusion of that. The biggest reason why I don't really think why is that important is because of what I just stated there. I don't think it's likely that any type of scandal is involved. I don't think it's likely that a certain event triggered Tom Bowen's resignation today. I think it was a collection of things, and this was an opportunity to just say, I'm done with it. The South Park token black gif. I'm done.
Yeah.
Hands up. I'm done. I'm out. I don't know. I don't know what I saw. I'm out. I'm just done with it. I do think the next question, though, if why is not important, I do think this question is important. So what? And here's why I think so what is important. Let's look at Tom Bowen's record. He does not obviously get credit for the hiring of Justin Fuente, who deserves all the credit in the world for where the football program is today. Justin Fuente was one of only a handful of people that could probably have gotten the ball rolling here in Memphis.
Absolutely.
And he deserves credit for that because oftentimes it takes a situation. This is what I've always felt. Hang with me here. This is what I've always felt. If, say, you have a job, say you're an athletic director at, let's take a Power Five school. Let's say you are the athletic director at Texas Tech. Okay, for instance. You're a Power Five school, but you're certainly not the cream of the crop.
Right.
I think the biggest mistake that those schools make is when they find a guy that has success, they panic. We can't lose our coach. We can't lose our coach. We can't lose our coach. Well, the truth is, if your coach is able to leave and go to a better job, that means he had to win. And therefore, the first thing that other coaches talk about now is, well, if that guy can win there, heck, I can win there.
Right.
And I think it's very easy for a lot of coaches when they get their first big-time job, I think it's very easy for them to have the fire in the belly, the drive and whatnot to just go every single day at it. And oftentimes that's enough to win. So when your coach A leaves, you find the next coach that does the exact same thing. But Mike Norvell wouldn't have taken the Memphis job if Justin Fuente couldn't have gotten it. And now when Mike Norvell is at the point where he can go and leave, it's a completely different job. Because now not only did Justin Fuente win, where you don't even have to hear the narrative of, well, Fuente can win there, but I don't know if anyone else can. Well, now Mike Norvell has proved that you can win there, which now means that's another guy that's proven you can do it, so it makes it even easier to hire the third guy. Oftentimes, though, schools panic, and then they end up giving all the power to a coach that, in general, was probably slightly above a replacement-level coach, and now that he's won big, oftentimes what you see is they start resting on their laurels. It's a pretty tried-and-true thing. And so, while Justin Fuente deserves all the credit in the world for starting it and proving it in college football, Tom Bowen is the guy that had a very difficult job in which he had to go and find the next guy that could keep it rolling.
Right.
Well, he did that with Mike Norvell. And now the football program is unquestionably better. I know some people attribute the Tubby Smith hire to Tom Bowen, and that was his decision. I don't feel confident in saying that. I don't. I do feel confident in saying that Tom Bowen was probably responsible for wanting to keep Tubby Smith, even when the writing was on the wall, that this is over.
Right.
But this is a really important aspect. Tom Bowen was clearly a football guy and committed to football. And we know for a fact that in 2025, the Big 12's grant of rights is up, and that conference is starts getting on its deathbed. That conference is in the ICU in 2025. And conference realignment is coming. And what have we seen with conference realignment? What is the number one thing that matters? How good are you in football?
Mm-hmm.
How attractive is your football program? And I think this is a very interesting moment for the University of Memphis because we now know Tom Bowen's gone. So what's next? And that's a fascinating debate because you also are now in a situation where the basketball program is absolutely rocking and rolling. You cannot deny that. If the haters want to hate, let them hate. Basketball program is rolling. That's not getting you in a Power Five conference. That's not going to bring the $120 million check in. It's a fascinating debate because what is the direction that the school's going in next? And I find that very, very fascinating because Tom Bowen clearly believed that football was very, very paramount for the school to try and elevate its profile. Is that going to be the opinion of the school moving forward? Is that the opinion of David Rudd? Or is the opinion now focus on basketball? I think it'll be fascinating to see how it develops. We'll discuss this and more, of course, Boogie Ellis recruiting, as well as Precious Achiuwa's out there. We'll get Jonah Jordan's thoughts when we come back next, right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If you want wings in Memphis, they're not hard to find. There are dozens of places all over town. The Wing Guru is but one. And yes, the Wing Guru is a little more expensive than most other wing joints. And yes, the Wing Guru might take a little longer to get your wings to your table than most other wing joints. But guess what? It's worth it. The fresh ingredients, the premium oils, and the cook-to-order approach make it all worth it. This is Gary Parrish asking a simple question. Do you want okay wings or great wings? Do you have the patience necessary to get the perfection you desire? If so, pop into one of the Wing Guru's two locations and experience it for yourself. One is at 5699 Mount Moriah. The other is at 7199 Stage Road. And if you can't make it to either location for whatever reason, just have the Wing Guru delivered by ordering via DoorDash at wingguru.com. That's the wingguru.com. Do yourself a favor and go see what everybody in the city is talking about. A locally owned wing franchise launched by University of Memphis basketball legend Billy Richmond. If you take pride in supporting local, support the Wing Guru. That's the Wing Guru online, thewingguru.com. Again, thewingguru.com.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without eco bill and auto pay. Offer ends 5/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
Down home, nobody leaves the table hungry. Put food on your table tonight with Church's Real Big Family Deal. 12 pieces of chicken, legs and thighs in original or spicy, and 2 large sides for just $15. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, what do we got here? Save money on car insurance when you bundle home, auto with Progressive. Save money on car insurance. You ready? Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Yeah, that sounded pretty good, don't you think? I could do it one more time, but I think that's... What do you say? Nailed it, right? Nailed it.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
I ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me overcoming with it. They took my heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Jumping it hard away.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Jen and Jordan covers Memphis Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you go subscribe to the Daily Memphian. They now have an app available. Go check out that app. Go follow Jonah on Twitter at @_JonahJordan. Jonah, we'll get to Tiger basketball recruiting here momentarily, but what did you make of the timing of Tom Bowen's resignation that we got at 9 a.m. this morning?
Well, it's kind of crazy, right? Because he just signed that 6-month extension not too long ago, and it definitely seemed like, at the time at least, that he was going to fulfill that, and maybe more. We weren't sure. There was talk of an extension, possibly. It's kind of crazy how fast it all came together.
One of the big questions for me is when we go back to just basic journalism school principles, who, what, when, where, why, and that's what I opened with. To me, the only question that we don't have an answer to is why. And I told Connor that I'm not necessarily sure why matters. The only situation in which I believe why matters is if the reason why he chose to resign was there's some type of scandal forthcoming and he didn't want to be involved in it or he was afraid of it getting pinned on him. I stress for the record that I don't believe that. Do you believe that's the case as well?
No, I don't believe so. I haven't, at least at the moment, haven't heard anything to suggest that.
Yes, and so for me then, since why is no longer the important question, I think, so what happens next or, you know, where do we go from here? That's what I think is a very, very significant question because, as I pointed out to Connor, in 2025, the Big 12's grant of rights is up. And for those that don't understand what that means is that's when their TV agreement and their TV contract, which is the most lucrative of their contracts for the conference itself, that contract's up. And so you now have a situation where Texas and Oklahoma they're no longer going to be in business of we're trying to keep the Big 12 together. They're going to go out and get theirs as they see the gap is widening between the Big 10, the SEC, and the Big 12, and honestly, even the ACC. And so you're going to start to see more realignment. Well, realignment has essentially, beg your pardon, been driven by football. And I think this is something that Tom Bowen knew at the beginning of the process, and that's why he was so active in making sure that the football program was viable. Do you have any sense of where the importance of the football program matters to David Rudd and to what I presume would lead into his next athletic director?
It is an important question, in all honesty. I mean, obviously they want to keep it rolling. They want to keep it sustained. They want to keep it to where they're winning at a high level. And I do think there will be that level of commitment at under whoever they bring in. There has to be. I mean, you can't, like you said, I mean, Bowen's been preaching this since he got here. You can't get to where you want to go without the football program. You can't get to where you want to go with that program going 2-10, 3-9, 1-11, 0-12. You can't do that. It's not feasible. As we've seen, Memphis has been one of the leaders of this conference over the last few years with Mike Norvell. They're killing it in the TV ratings. They were one of the reasons the TV deal got done. Like, they're very, very involved. And you're right. A realignment's coming. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how Memphis will factor in. But everybody knows it's coming. Every decision they've made over the last 7 years has been had a focus of, okay, one day there's going to be realignment and we want to be involved.
Will Tom Bowen's resignation have an impact on Mike Norvell?
Not to my knowledge.
I think that's another interesting question to pursue, but I agree. It seems like Mike Norvell's future, I find it hard to believe that David Rudd doesn't believe in Norvell either. Yeah, I mean, to me, what makes it also fascinating is we're now starting to see, forget the fact that the Big 12's Bill of Rights will be up in 2025. The Pac-12 network has been a catastrophic failure in terms...
Catastrophic.
Yes, in terms of when you look at its competitors, it has been a massive failure. And I'm not sure that the Pac-12's future is secure. So now if you have, you know, the 10 schools of the Big 12 up for grabs, and then you have the 12 schools of the Pac-12 up for grabs, and we know realignment's coming, I'm very fascinated to see how this plays out. For years and years, Tommy Tuberville always thought that what was coming next was the age of the super conferences, in which essentially the Power Five would break off, form their own entity, and obviously you'd have to add some people to that to fill out a schedule to make it viable. Do you get the sense that the University of Memphis is aware that this is very much in play?
Oh yeah. It is always something that you're thinking about. I don't know. I haven't really talked about it with people in some time because, you know, everything else that's been going on. But I mean, it is something in the forefront of their minds of that, hey, we want to get into a conference. President Rudd's talked about it a lot. Hey, we want to be able to compete at a high level. We want to be able to compete for a championship in every single sport. That's what the interim AD said that today. I thought that was an interesting talking point, is that he wants to go beyond conference championships and he wants to go to national championships in every single sport. And I think that is something that is a focus for them. And how realistic is that in the AAC? I don't think it is very at the moment because of how everything is structured with the playoff and all this. So jumping to a new conference has definitely been something they've always thought about. It's just that with the Big 12 stuff, the Big 12 decided not to expand. Even if they had expanded, Memphis wouldn't have been involved. But it is something that they do talk about.
Last question before we get on to recruiting. Now that the University of Memphis athletic director job is available, we know that the school is going to start their search. How good of a job is it, in your opinion?
The athletic director job?
Yes.
I would say it's probably the second or third best job in the AAC. It's a hard job. It's a hard job.
Yeah. I think it has its pluses and minuses. Pluses, you know, when you look at it this way, while everyone makes the jokes about the Liberty Bowl not being full, I mean, for an AAC school, this is a school that draws regularly 35,000 people or more, And in terms of the conference, that's very high. You have a very passionate fan base. We clearly know the enthusiasm for the basketball program, but in general, it's not just a school that has an athletic department. I mean, it's got a following, it's got a fan base, and then on top of that, it's a reasonable place to live. You have the mix. Great cost of living. You have the benefits of being a small city, as well as you don't have to deal with the huge aspects of just being an afterthought in a market. And so I think it has its advantages, and it also, of course, as you mentioned, it has its challenges. It's not cash heavy. It's not in the Power Five. It's unclear.
There's some high expectations for basketball. There are some there are a lot of politics involved being the athletic director at Memphis that are make it hard. You're cash strapped. You're dealing with a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, right now, all you have to think of is, hey, I don't have to touch the basketball program. All I have to do is not get in the way. Not get in the way and help occasionally. With football, you can fundraise. You can do all of the things that Tom Bowen did. You can improve on a lot of things on the marketing side, I think, and that's why they brought in that number two guy. And that's something they've been actively trying to improve over the last year or so. But in the end, it's a good job. Do I think it's better than UCF? Probably not. Do I think it's better than Houston? Probably not. But do I think it's better than USF? Yes. Temple? Yes. Like, that's where you are. I think it's a reasonable job.
I think that's a very fair way to say it. We're talking, of course, with Jonah Jordan, who covers the University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian @_JonahJordan over on Twitter. Okay, of course, the other news of the last 24 hours, the University of Memphis did indeed find that Boogie Ellis will be a Tiger. In terms of importance for Memphis in finding another option at the point guard position, how important do you think it was for Penny Hardaway and his staff?
Oh, it's huge, right? Like, I think, okay, I'm going to show some bias here. I love point guards that can just dribble, 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 and just cross you over and then hit a three in your face, and that's what Boogie Ellis is. Like, you want a couple of those guys on the team, and he's 6'2". He gives you a lot of lineup flexibility. He gives you so much. It helps you recruit California. When was the last time, I mean, you have talked about this, Jeffrey, when was the last time Memphis went to California and got a guy who was being recruited by UCLA, USC, Arizona, Oregon, and Washington? Gonzaga?
We did this. I think I can safely say in the recruiting coverage era, it's not happened in Memphis. They've gotten maybe a junior college kid from California, and they've gotten, I think they even got like a walk-on at one point. But they did not go out west and beat the biggest of the big for a California kid. To my knowledge, it's the first time it's happened.
I don't think people understand how huge of a deal that is, how hard it is to recruit the West Coast, and then how hard it is to recruit against those California schools. It's insanely difficult. And then Penny Hardaway and Mike Miller were able to do it. They were able to go into California and get a California kid to come to Memphis to play for them. That is unbelievable to me. Forget about what he does on the floor. This is a huge accomplishment just in terms of I did not think they were going to be able to do this after just a year. And it just proves that they're really far ahead of probably even my expectations.
I think that's probably a fair way to say. And then, of course, the other big name out on the board is Precious Achiuwa. When you look at the crystal balls over on 247 Sports, I believe it's about 70% of the projections from analysts and whatnot believe that he is indeed headed to Memphis. What say you?
I'm not one of those people. As you know, I do have crystal ball over there. But at the moment, I haven't put one in for Precious, and I doubt I will for anybody because to me, it's just a lot of question marks. I think it's going to go down to the last day. I don't know if we'll have an idea of where Precious is going until the night before or when he's going to commit, whether that's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But Kansas is still working. Evan Daniels is on here. Georgia is still working. It's going to go down. I think it'll probably go down to the last minute.
Yeah. I've never understood because I covered recruiting too. And obviously, you know, when you're a recruiting writer, you do have to make predictions. But I never liked to make predictions up until essentially, now granted, most of it, the coverage that I did was for football and signing day. At that point, we still had the good firm February signing day period. And I just never liked to do it before that. And more times than not, it worked out for me. I got burned occasionally looking at you, Jeffrey Simmons. I didn't get burned on Leo, though, so I was excited about that. Or Shaim Carter. Didn't get burned on those, even though I could have. But in general, I never felt rushed to do so. But I guess this is the best way I would phrase it. If you were the University of Memphis, would you trade places with anyone on if you're recruiting Precious Achiuwa?
No, probably not. I mean, at this point, no. I mean, they're in a good spot with him. Everybody seems to think they're the favorite. But no, I think they're in a, it's a tough question to ask. I don't know. I really think Memphis isn't good, as good of a spot as they can be with him right now.
Have you heard anything positive on the Memphis front for RJ Hampton?
I woke up this morning and I heard they may be out of it. But then I think, Jake Weingartner, who does a good job, forget where he is now, but he wrote that RJ told him that Memphis is still very much in it, that he hasn't cut anybody from his list. So we'll see how that continues to develop, but I'm still leaning heavily towards Kansas.
Yeah, that just seems to be the best fit and the best opportunity for him. But another guy that we haven't really heard much of one way or the other is Trenton Watford. Are the Tigers still in play for Trenton Watford?
Depends who you talk to. Some people say LSU. Some people say he's waiting to see what Precious does. Some people say they don't know. But I still lean towards LSU and that they'll get that done.
Yeah. It does seem like when you think about it in terms of recruiting, and you and I have discussed this, you know, a big tell for you was always if you could get a kid on the phone. And if you could get a kid on the phone, that showed you that Memphis was very much in play. I'm not saying anything about Trenton Watford, but a key for me was always the momentum and the frequency in which you would hear someone's name around the school. And Trenton Watford's always been out there lurking, but it's not a name that you consistently hear. For in the spirit of fairness, I thought the same thing about Rajon Tucker, and then we saw this weekend that was not the case. But to me, I do kind of put some stock into that.
Yeah. I do think that this staff has shown that they do a pretty good job of changing minds, because I'll be honest. I mean, I know for a fact Auburn thought they had Rajon Tucker. I think they thought they had it done, and obviously that wasn't the case, but I think Penny has a very good habit of getting in on a kid and being able to change his mind pretty quickly. So maybe if things don't work out, or if maybe they want to get back in on Trendon, or maybe they want to flip him or do whatever, they can do that because Penny's shown he has the ability to do so. But right now, I'm still leaning towards LSU.
Last question on this before we let you go. You've been gracious with your time. We now know that the University of Memphis is significantly upgrading talent, and we're seeing more and more new names, and we're seeing, only five guys can play at a time. That's one rule of basketball that I do think is pretty constant. Do you think that any player either involved in the signing class or any player that's on the roster currently, do you think that they're starting to pay attention thinking, man, I'm not sure where my minutes are?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen every time, anytime you have a class like this, and it'll certainly pop up. I'm interested to see how Penny reacts to that over the next month or so once he gets this class sewn up.
And then lastly, as we follow up on that, who would be the most likely candidates to fit into that category?
Ooh, you're putting me on the spot, Jeffrey.
It's radio, baby.
To be determined. I'll give you that. To be determined.
Boo! Boo, Jonah. Boo, Ben. Boo.
You're not getting it from me today.
Oh, well, I tried. All right, buddy. Go enjoy the links. Hit them well.
All right, man. I'll see you.
That is Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian. A little bit of a scheduling note. John had a commitment, so John Martin will not join us at the top of the next hour. We're going to move David Cobb up to 3 o'clock because the Grizzlies have a very, very important event that occurs tonight, and that is the NBA draft lottery. So we're going to move that up to 3 o'clock. However, We still got a little bit of time when we come back. There are a couple other things that we want to get to before we get to David. We'll do that next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9. Coming up at 3 p.m.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You gather some coworkers around your laptop to watch the funniest video ever.
So funny.
But nobody is laughing. You couldn't save yourself from the next 3 minutes of unlaughable regret. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your sense of humor has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Huh.
And has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Ooh.
And while your little video party isn't going as expected, you could expect more savings from your local Geico agent.
You couldn't save yourself from a laughless video flop, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Memphis to Phoenix Mesa one way for as low as $80. Must be purchased by May 29, 2019 for travel between June 10, 2019 and August 12, 2019. Seats and dates are limited. Restrictions apply. See Allegiant.com for details.
If you want wings in Memphis, they're not hard to find. There are dozens of places all over town. The Wing Guru is but one. And yes, the Wing Guru is a little more expensive than most other wing joints. And yes, the Wing Guru might take a little longer to get your wings to your table than most other wing joints. But guess what? It's worth it. The fresh ingredients, the premium oils, and the cook-to-order approach make it all worth it. This is Gary Parrish asking a simple question. Do you want okay wings or great wings? Do you have the patience necessary to get the perfection you desire? If so, pop into one of the Wing Guru's 2 locations and experience it for yourself. One is at 5699 Mount Moriah. The other is at 7199 Stage Road. And if you can't make it to either location for whatever reason, just have the Wing Guru delivered by ordering via DoorDash at wingguru.com. That's thewingguru.com. Do yourself a favor and go see what everybody in the city is talking about. A locally owned wing franchise launched by University of Memphis basketball legend Billy Richmond. If you take pride in supporting local, support the Wing Guru. That's the Wing Guru online, thewingguru.com. Again, thewingguru.com.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When our clients come to us for representation, I see way more than a client. I see me. When I hear someone has a herniated disc or a back injury, I think, what if that was me? How would that impact my life? I put myself in your shoes and in your life. When I look at your family, I see my family. This outlook makes my firm think differently than most. I understand that some injuries are forever, and forever is a very long time. For 30 years, we've helped hundreds of thousands recover what they deserve. $1 billion last year alone. Why? Because you are us. You are me. Every time we hear your stories, we feel like it's us. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, call us because we care. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Beer lovers, listen up. Your Memphis Zoo is back Friday, May 24th with Zoo Brew. Sample over 100 beers smack dab in the middle of the zoo. Lions, tigers, bears, and beers. Friday, May 24th, starting at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $45. Available online at memphiszoo.org, as well as the Memphis Zoo box office. Zoo Brew is brought to you by Southland Casino Racing.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
The NBA draft lottery occurs tonight. It's going to be an important night for the Memphis Grizzlies on several fronts. We'll finally answer the question of whether or not the Memphis Grizzlies will indeed finally convey their pick to Boston. We'll find out if the Memphis Grizzlies have a top four pick, or we'll find out if indeed they will have the number eight pick overall. Memphis Grizzlies enter tonight with a 6% chance of getting the number one overall pick. It's fascinating to me because, Connor, when you look back at the last 11 NBA draft lotteries, four times a team with a fewer than a 5% chance of getting the number one pick has indeed won the lottery. The last times being 2014, when the Cavs had a 1.4% chance of landing the number one pick. 2011, the Clippers had a 2.8% chance of landing the number one pick. The Bulls, I believe it was a 1.9% chance. And then the Portland Trail Blazers, when they drafted Greg Oden, they had a 5.3% chance. So the Grizzlies, again, have a 6% chance. And it's also important to note that the NBA draft lottery odds have changed. Last year, you had no team with a better than a 25% chance of getting the number one overall pick. This year, you have no team with a better than a 14% chance of landing the overall number one pick. The Knicks, Cleveland, and Phoenix, all three have a 14% chance. Chicago with a 12.5% chance. Atlanta with a 10.5% chance. The Wizards with a 9% chance. The Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavericks, all with a 6% chance. Of course, we know the only real options for the Grizzlies are either A, convey the pick, in which when you look at the remaining odds, I believe it's around a 57% chance. The most likely thing that will occur tonight is that indeed the Grizzlies will end up conveying their pick to the Boston Celtics. But the Grizzlies do very much have a chance to get 1, 2, 3, 4, or 8, which is where they are slotted currently. And I think I've changed my tune, and here's why I've changed my tune. For most of the year, I thought the best case scenario for the Grizzlies was to finish ninth, convey the pick, finally be done with it, and then you can start your rebuild. I think I've now changed my decision. I think we can all agree if the Grizzlies get 1, 2, or 3, most people would sign up for that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, that'd be a huge win.
The question has always become, would you rather have 4 or convey the pick? I think now I've decided that I want the number 4 pick. And the biggest reason I want the number 4 pick, the more and more you start to read about Darius Garland, the more and more you realize that it's obviously a high-risk, high-reward scenario, but in terms of what he could bring to a team, he definitely has NBA star potential. And more importantly, the days are numbered with Mike Conley. And for me, when you start to look at Darius Garland, you're going to need another key piece, a young piece, an elite piece, to go along with Jaren Jackson. And I think the longer and longer you start putting it off and adding to Jaren Jackson, the worse and worse your franchise is. We know that right now the Grizzlies have one asset to build around, and that's Jaren Jackson. And to me, I have now decided that I understand that would still mean your pick would only be top six protected next year. I completely understand that. But I think now you are in a position where you can add to what you have with Jaren Jackson, and I think now is the time. Go ahead and root for that.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, as most people know, I'm in Team Convey for the reasons that I've put out in the past, but I have absolutely no problem with people rooting for the fourth pick. I think there's like a weird civil war happening between Grizzlies fans right now when in actuality, all of us want the same thing. They want the Grizzlies to start building and improve for the future. And the fourth pick, 1, 2, 3, and conveying the pick, all of those things do help the future of the franchise in just a little bit of a different way. Eight is the one that you want to run away from. Eight is to be honest, there's only one bad thing that can happen to the Grizzlies tonight.
I think that
getting eight is the bad thing that can happen because that is literally purgatory for this draft. You're in it. You're still in the lottery, so you might hit it on a guy, but do you want to trade the pick? You can't convey then. That is the pick that I think would be the most Grizzlies thing to happen is getting that. With the fourth pick, to your point, you can either take Darius Garland, who would be my pick at four. It's him or Culver for me, but I'm leaning Garland after we've kind of dove into him a little bit more. But that also gives you the option to shop that pick. Shopping the fourth pick with maybe a Mike Conley, that makes some interesting things happen for the future as well. So I'm with you. I would prefer to convey, but if they land on four, I'd still be happy.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we make a situation where people think that there is a good answer, a right answer, and a wrong answer.
Yeah, there's only one wrong answer.
And that's finishing eighth.
Yes.
Which, of course, we know that's what's going to happen tonight. That seems to just be what you would consider a free space. I do think it's fascinating, though, because it is interesting to me when everyone is gung-ho 1, 2, and 3. I've not seen this type of drop-off between number 3 and number 4 in terms of excitement as we have this year.
Right. Especially from following last year's draft, it's a huge difference.
There's no question. And for me, again, I mentioned this take. I think I ran it by Kevin Pelton last week. I understand we are prisoners of the moment, and I understand what Ja Morant did. Mm-hmm. And if the Grizzlies wind up with number 2, I'm going to be screaming, take Ja, take Ja, take Ja, take Ja, take Ja. You will not hear me say, take R.J. Barrett, and I will be happy if R.J. Barrett becomes the star and mm-hmm. Ja doesn't. I will be happy to admit, hand up, I was wrong. But I do think, had we seen Garland play this year, when you look at his shooting numbers throughout his high school, his AAU career, he was a high-level shooter. And then when you look at the type of athlete that he is, I think he very much is in that mold of what we see in terms of star point guards in the NBA.
Right.
And I'm willing at this point to say, if you give me the choice between that or conveying the pick, I'd rather take the chance now because I'm ready. At this point, the longer and longer you put off a rebuild, the less and less likely I think you are of creating an attractive situation for Jaren Jackson and creating a situation that makes him want to stay.
That's totally fair. And, I mean, we've said it multiple times. One of our keys for the future of this team is building a winning culture. And any way that you can get to that the fastest is always the best way. And one thing with Garland is, we've said a couple of times, the Grizzlies do have a bad history of drafting guys that have injury issues and that not working out. Garland is different than those prospects, though. Those prospects' ceiling was never as high as Garland's was, and they were never the same type of prospect. Like, Garland could really elevate this franchise just next season. Like, the Jordan Adams and Jarrell Martin, like, they weren't the type of guy that was going to completely change your season next season if they did hit. Garland has that potential. He's the type of player that can bring wins to your team next year.
Obviously, for selfish reasons, we would love to see the Grizzlies get the number 1 pick. But let's remove them from the equation. If the Grizzlies don't get the number 1 pick, are you still on board as saying the team that you want to see to get the number 1 pick as the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, Atlanta to me would be the best one, and then I think the Suns would be the second best spot for them. I just don't think that, like, a KD, Kyrie, Zion situation in New York is going to be successful. For some reason, I don't think that trio is going to work, because all of the problems KD has in Golden State would be magnified in New York. All the problems Kyrie had in Boston would be magnified in New York. And then all of a sudden, Zion has all this pressure on him in New York. He's playing in the Garden every single night. And then, well, how are KD and Kyrie going to react to not being the number 1 story in New York if they land Zion? They're all of a sudden, they're going to be in the shadow of a rookie? How do you think that's going to mess with their headspace? So that combination to me is not – I want Zion to go somewhere where he can be successful and also not have immediate pressure to win. And I think that those – the two best spots for him would be in Atlanta – Atlanta or the Suns would probably be the best spots, other than the Grizzlies, of course. If he came to the Grizzlies, it would be the happiest day of my life.
I'm in this weird spot now where I'm now starting to do the thing where I look for the teams. My rooting interest, I want the Grizzlies to get the number 1 pick because the Grizzlies become relevant overnight. But I'm now in this spot where I'm more passionate about teams I don't want to get Zion
right.
than teams I do want to get Zion.
Yeah.
Because for the very reasons that you just laid out for the Knicks, that's another set of circumstances that I want the Knicks to get the number 1 pick should the Grizzlies not get it.
Fair enough.
But I'm in this situation now where, listen, I don't think this Seattle rumor thing is going to go away. I do not want the New Orleans Pelicans to wind up getting him
no.
and forget the fact that they're in the division. I do not want the Dallas Mavericks to get them for the for obviously for the competition reasons. And really, I don't want LeBron to get bailed out by a draft lottery.
I don't either. I also don't want to see him go to Cleveland.
I'm fine with that. You